the sign said long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat and I went in to ask him why. Shot on sight. So I jumped on the fence and I yelled at the house, "Hey, what gives you the right to put up a fence to keep me out or to keep Mother Nature in? If God was here, he'd tell you to your face, man, you're some kind of sinner."
Sign, sign, everywhere a sign,
blocking out the scenery,
breaking my mind.
Do this, don't do that, can't you read?
Membership card to get inside.
Music, news, talk, and sports. WQKR Portland, 1270 AM and 101.7 FM.
And now, Portland's news, brought to you by Portland Natural Gas.
Nearly 9 months after 15-year-old Sebastian Rogers was last seen in Hendersonville, his father says he has never given up looking for him. Rogers, who was last seen on Stafford Court in Hendersonville on February 26th, has been missing ever since. "I refuse to let my son be discarded like trash," Seth Rogers said. "I'm sad. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm hurt. But that doesn't matter because I don't know what my son is going through." Rogers says his son's case has been plagued by negativity from social media and other online platforms, and that takes away from his main priority, bringing his son home. "My house is very, very quiet because my son's not there," Rogers said. "I just want my son found and brought home." While Seth hasn't given up hope, he feels others have, and that they've treated his son's case as a lesser priority. "Investigators haven't come back and told anyone anything since April," Rogers said. Recently, nationally known Dog the Bounty Hunter joined the search for Sebastian, adding a significant reward to aid in the search for the missing teen. Seth has continued to raise awareness for his son, holding prayer vigils and motorcycle rides to keep Sebastian's name and face at the forefront of people's minds. One Nashville television station has reached out to both the Sumner County Sheriff's Department and the TBI for an update on where the investigation stands, but says they've not yet received an answer. A man was arrested Sunday for allegedly killing a neighbor's dog outside his Gallatin home. William Pate is accused of shooting a Pomeranian dog that escaped over its fence and wandered over to Pate's yard and home. According to an arrest record, the dog's owner told officers the Pomeranian dog escaped when she wasn't looking. She found her pet two houses down where Pate lives, whimpering. Her husband found a gunshot wound on the dog's side near its back leg, and they took the animal to the emergency veterinarian. The dog suffered internal bleeding and broken ribs, according to an arrest record. A neighbor confirmed that the dog passed away after three different veterinarians tried to save the pet. The dog's owner filed a police report and alleged Pate was the one responsible for shooting her pet. The owner told police Pate did not take the incident lightly and sent her hostile messages over social media. Officers were dispatched to Spencer Springs Drive for the animal call and spoke with Pate, whom police say changed his story several times. The arrest record says Pate finally admitted to shooting the dog. He claimed he shot it to protect his three-year-old daughter, who was in his yard at the time. But when officers asked if the dog had ever been aggressive or barked at either him or his daughter, Pate said no. The dog's owner also said the Pomeranian dog had never been violent to anyone before. Pate was arrested for aggravated animal cruelty. His court date is set for November 19th in Sumner County General Sessions Court.
Hello, Sumner County. This is Len Asante, host of The Loyal Opposition, the show where you hear the other half of the story. I'm out making trouble for the supermajority this week, so won't be able to be with you. So sit back and relax and listen to a rerun of a previous Loyal Opposition. We'll be back next week with more news commentary and interesting guest interviews. Folks, yesterday was Election Day, and last week I promised a recap of the evening's events, and we are here to talk about that, and we're here to talk about next steps, and we're here to talk about how to move forward, and we're here to talk about the, hopefully, the formation of the resistance, the Portland, Tennessee cell.
Oh, yeah.
Well, folks, I have a little funny story for you. Last night, as you might imagine, it was a difficult night for me and many of my friends as we were watching the election returns come in. And
yeah.
I decided to go to, when I went to bed, I decided that I would take a sleeping aid. So I swallowed a gummy, completely legal. What the people all laughing at
THC.
Me, looking at me, laughing at me.
Very
was
legal.
THC derived cannabis, hemp derived THC. Okay, hemp derived THC. Well, as it turns out, folks, the correct dosage is half a gummy.
Oh.
And I accidentally swallowed an entire gummy.
Wow.
And let me tell you, it made quite a difference.
Sleep
I had
your
some
life.
I had some strange dreams. I had some strange side effects, and I think I went through all five stages of grief in about half an hour in bed last night, around 3 or 4 in the morning. It was a tough night. It was a tough night, and it has been a tough day. But we are here to talk about the results, what they mean, and where to move forward from that. But first, a couple of news items for you. Actually, there is still some news going on. Bit of good news, I would argue, right, to start off. The election, the number of voters in Sumner County was, I think, kind of quite impressive.
Yeah.
We had 70% turnout in Sumner County. We had 70% turnout. And almost half of that turnout, 48%, was early voting.
Yeah.
Right? So we had quite some good solid turnout here in Sumner County. Not all counties can say that, actually.
Yeah.
But we did a great job of getting out the vote in Sumner County. So I'm proud. I'm proud of everyone who voted and who helped others to get out the vote. And I really want to give out a thanks to everyone who worked so hard on all the campaigns. We have a couple of them with us in the room tonight. We're going to be talking with. And we are going, so many people gave their time, what's the phrase? Time, treasure, and talent.
Right?
And to make the world a better place, to make our community a better place. And those people should be commended. I want to especially commend and thank our local candidates who ran under the Democratic banner here in Sumner County. We had Walter Chandler, who worked hard running for the state Senate. And we had Brian Robertson here in Portland. And we had Lexi Melton and Allison Beal in 44 and 45.
Well, and backwards, 35 and
45. 35 and 45, yeah, of course, yeah. Yes. 35 and 45.
Brian was 44.
And those two women worked their tails off.
They did.
They worked their tails off. And they made inroads.
Yeah.
They made inroads. We contacted a lot of new voters, and those contacts will pay dividends down the line. And Allison Beal, well, she in particular did better than a lot of candidates across the state in terms of voter percentage. And I also want to call out my friend Allie Phillips up in Clarksville, House District 75.
My girl.
And she came pretty close.
Yeah, she ended up with a 45-55 split. In a district where in the past there was not an opponent last time. So she kicked ass. Oh, can I say that on the radio?
Well, I guess
she
we're about
kicked
to find
butt.
Out.
She kicked butt. And I would say that one of the things that has been the most hopeful for me, I know a lot of people are reeling right now, and the thing that I keep repeating to myself is Kamala Harris kept saying, when we fight, we win. And that isn't actually how it happens. It's we fight, we lose. We fight, we lose. And we keep going until we win. And so Allie and Allison and Lexi and all of these candidates across the state, they fought, and what they did for us was they got data for us that we have not had in a long time. We're going to be able to look at precincts and at turnout and the split between general Republican and Democratic votes at those precincts to know which areas to target, not just for state House races, but also for county commission, for city council, for mayor, whatever we're
school
looking
board.
At. Yes, yeah. For all of this. And that's something that I know when we talk about voting, it is hard to reconcile the fact that so many people just aren't educated. But it's the job of people like us to do some voter education so that people care enough to get out and vote and to make informed decisions when they do. And so if we know which precincts have certain levels of turnout and a certain vote split, we are better able to determine what we need to educate on, how we need to educate it, or
who we need to
who we need to educate, how we need to do it, what, like, it's, I mean, I am, of course, disappointed. I don't think that that really describes it. I am what you would consider the Southern white woman who stops talking or like has the thin lips and is like, right now I am seething and I'm turning that anger and that energy into what are the next steps that we need to take, because with a new administration comes a potential of Project 2025, and how are we, the people who have been working to help people, how are we going to pivot what we've done into continuing to help people, to offering resources, to lift them up, and to keep some of the hope alive. And I would say that we have plenty of time to grieve. We take our time, and if you're able to step in, like me, right now, like Jermaine, right now, that we go ahead and step in and we start doing the work. And if you're not able to, we will create a space so that when you are, you just jump right in.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And there, like you said, there is time for all of that.
Yeah.
And we will take
I know it's
going to
hit me. It hasn't yet.
Yeah, it hasn't really hit me either, I think. I've just been kind of numb all day.
Yeah.
And have a feeling at some point that's going to wear off and it's going to be like, Holy cow. But, you know, but here and there, dashes of good news.
Yes.
You know, for example, we've got both Allies, Allie and Allison.
Yeah.
Both of them outperformed the top of their tickets yesterday.
They did.
Okay. Which means that there are potential Democratic voters in Sumner County that the top of the ticket, the presidential ticket, wasn't touching, but we were.
Or there are people who chose to split their ticket and actually want to be able to elect people who will work across the aisle. That's how I'm thinking about it.
And wouldn't that be horrible?
One of the other things that is, I think, a positive for us, the Democrats held all of our seats.
We did.
That includes Ronnie Glenn up in Clarksville, who flipped his seat.
Right, that we kept the flip seat.
We kept that flip seat by like 132 votes.
Yep. And we got a couple of new faces joining the crowd in the state legislature.
Which
young folks.
So great. Mm-hmm. Well, I would say what I keep thinking about, and I'm a woman, so I'm talking about this, but there were two white men who retired, and the people who are replacing them are a young Latina, Gabby Salinas, and then a black woman, Shondell Brooks. Mm. So the diversity within our contingent has changed, but also we've gone, now I don't know about the Republican seats. I honestly wasn't paying attention to that. But when it comes to our seats, there were 24 legislators who are Democrats in our state house. Three of them were women. Now we have five of them.
Mm-hmm. That's a positive step.
Change.
So we've gotten massive change.
We've seen increase in diversity in terms of skin color.
And it also
gender.
Brings down the age because Gabby is young and Shondell is younger than some of the other legislators. So it's bringing down the average age, at least of the women. Now we have like two women under the age of 40 who are going to be on the thing, which I think is fantastic.
And I will say, I was in that room last night when Shondell found out she won, and it was electric.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing to watch that woman struggle for 6 years and to finally get something back.
Yeah.
And she's a valid lesson to some of these candidates who came up short in their first time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, imagine what Allison or Allie or any of these candidates can do, Lexi can do in 2 years if they wanted to, because now they know how it works, and they know a lot of people, and they've got a fundraising base, and they've learned a lot. Yeah.
And many of them have said that they will be running again. Another really, I would say, hopeful, uplifting thing is that the projected numbers, what we anticipated getting for most of these races, and I'm not just talking about the ones that I've mentioned, for races across the state with Democrats running, we trended about 2 points higher than what was projected. So what we assumed we would get, we did better. And so that, to me, when we are seeing a national shift towards the right, that means we are not only holding the line there, but also we're making inroads. And it may just be, I would say that the shift is pretty interesting. That's a good way to put it.
It is, and it will be something that will be analyzed and scrutinized and evaluated, because in 2 years, we're going to have another shot at this. And I would expect, you know, just based on 4 years ago, that the Republican majority in Washington will be giving us plenty of things to use on our platforms in 2 years.
Absolutely.
Well, and as we know, Governor Lee has already filed the voucher bill.
Right. So the voucher bill's been filed.
That was this morning. Yeah.
And we filed a sales tax reduction bill this morning as well. We did. So maybe one of these days we'll actually get a fair hearing on the merits of reducing the sales tax for our low-income residents, because the sales tax is a regressive tax, right?
Yeah.
The less you own, the greater the percentage of it that you pay of your own income. The sales tax referendum in Gallatin passed. Another one of my losses. I voted against it. Although I do understand the reasons why people voted for it, and I'm fine with that. I just don't like regressive taxes. It will save a property tax increase, so I guess that is a good thing. And in Nashville, they passed the transit referendum rather handily.
A nice
easy job of that, and that is going to help Nashville in its continuous growth to become more of a world-class city. You have to be able to get around from place to place.
Absolutely.
If you want to have a growing community. So that is going to help Nashville. And I looked at some other numbers that I saw some positives here. You know, I mean, obviously we have gerrymandered districts at the congressional and state house and state senate level in Tennessee. And here's just some proof of that. Yesterday, Trump got 64% of the vote in Tennessee. Okay, yet Republicans won 90% of our congressional districts, 82% of our state senate districts, and 76% of our state house districts. Folks, that's not luck. That's gerrymandering.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it is clear that you know, there are about 30 to 35, 36% Democrats in this state. But we certainly don't have anywhere near that level of representation in the state house and the state senate. And if we did, things might be a little bit different.
Yeah.
A lot different.
Well, and I would say, you know, if we have, I would say that there are certain areas where the gerrymandering has certainly made it even more of a, you know, a little bit of a struggle for us to win. But in the good news, talking about gerrymandering, it's going to sound crazy, but we get to keep Gloria Johnson in the House.
We do.
Even though she was gerrymandered out of her district and had to move literally a few blocks.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the other thing is that a lot of these candidates, as a lot of people know, I am very close to many of these candidates. I worked on several of the campaigns, and I have been lucky to get to know so many of them. Anyway, they are running again. And do I know how many? No. That's still up in the air. Everyone's, like, licking their wounds, trying to figure out how to move forward.
The day after is not the time to make these decisions.
Except some of them already have, because they made the decision when they started to run the first time.
That
this is a two-cycle flip. So.
And that's what we need. We need these candidates to not disappear. We need them to stay around. More on that and more on a lot of other stuff when we come back. We're going to pay some bills. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR.
At the Law Office of Amanda J. Gentry, we are committed to defending your rights. We have a team committed to helping you navigate the court system, whether you've been accused of a crime or you're going through a messy divorce and custody. Call our team to help you navigate this system. We are here to protect your rights, to demand your rights, to enforce your rights. 615-604-6263. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
The Sumner County Anti-Drug Coalition, an organization dedicated to ending drug abuse, is now the Sumner Prevention Coalition. But their goal is the same, helping Sumner County residents with drug abuse problems turn their lives around and get on the road to recovery. Their mission is to unite people with vision, commitment, and resources to provide solutions to eliminate substance abuse and make a difference for youth, families, and individuals in Sumner County. The coalition and its staff of experienced professionals in the field envision a healthy, safe, and thriving community free from substance abuse of all kinds, tobacco use, prescription drug abuse, and underage drinking. Find out how the Sumner Prevention Coalition can help you, and you can help the coalition. Visit them online at sumnercoalition.org. That's sumnercoalition.org.
Portland is pleased to welcome Cole Lumber Company to our business community. They will now be this area's leading supplier of building materials. Operating since 1946, Cole Lumber, with their 7 Kentucky locations, has selected Portland as their first operation in Tennessee. And we are glad to have them here. Cole is 100% employee-owned. It is their goal to provide all of their customers with both quality building materials and friendly service. From a staff that is both knowledgeable and experienced, serving the needs of both contractors and homeowners, from building a dream home to a weekend project, Cole Lumber has the knowledge, experience, and materials to help you. No matter what you want or need, visit Cole Lumber Company. 462 North Broadway in Portland.
We have a saying here in the Tennessee Valley, if you don't like the weather, just give it a few minutes and it'll change, which is why you need a heating and cooling system that can keep up, like a high-efficiency electric heat pump that starts saving you money the minute you turn it on. And now that your local power company and TVA are offering 8% financing for up to 10 years, there's never been a smarter time to make the switch. So call your local power company or log on to EnergyRight.com.
Call CEMC and join the heat pump revolution today.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Loyal Opposition here on WQKR. I am your host, Len Asante, and we're hanging with Megan and we're hanging with Jermaine on this dreary Wednesday afternoon. Dreary for many reasons, but it is 71 degrees and drizzly out there, and that's one of the reasons why it's dreary. And election aftershocks, another reason for dreariness, but there is hope.
Yeah.
There's always hope.
Right? And there's healing to be had, isn't
yeah,
there?
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I wanted to talk about on the show today is how we can heal. Right? How we can heal. And I talked to a friend of the show, folks, those of you who follow closely and follow on us on the web know that McDaniel and Associates is one of our show supporters, and Terrell McDaniel, the owner, he is a counseling psychologist
yeah.
with many decades of experience, and actually, believe it or not, has spent many hours watching videos of Donald Trump, and a task I don't envy him. but that is a different story. But he has 6 ideas about how we can help each other and
mm-hmm.
how we can help ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay, as we move through this morning, sort of mourning and panic phase. Step number one is, believe it or not, don't panic. Do not make a knee-jerk reaction. Give this all time to settle in and get ready and, you know, allow time for the counterforces, for the opposition to get organized, to learn, to get engaged,
yeah.
to plan, to strategize, right? Nothing is bad. Nothing bad is going to happen to you now or tomorrow. Remember, Joe Biden is our president for the next 70-something days,
yeah.
right? All right. We're going to get through the holidays with a Democratic president, right? number two, do not grieve, okay? Do grieve.
Right, like,
do grieve.
Len, that is counterintuitive.
Right, now, do grieve, but don't count your losses until they actually happen. Things
yeah,
are
yeah.
often not as permanent, pervasive, or personal as they seem. You will need to anticipate things, but don't let your imagination put your head in front of your skis, as he says. You know, we've already talked about Project 2025. You know, for example, a lot of that can't happen just with the snap of Donald Trump's
right.
finger, right?
Right?
There has to be legislation. There's going to be court hearings. There's going to be lawsuits. There's going to be, right?
Nothing is going to happen.
Emails from the ACLU, they're prepared.
Exactly, like exactly. Here. They knew this was coming, yes. Right? So we're going to be prepared. This means exercise your self-discipline. Stick to your knitting, as he says.
Stop doom scrolling. That's right. He's trying to say that.
Exactly. Yeah. Instead of doing, you know, attend to things that are actually happening physically in your presence. You know, get off the social media, right? Suggest good, don't overdo the media. Do not be constantly scrolling for the latest news, update, voting counts, electoral college votes, whatever. Don't let yourself get trapped in that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk yourself up. Remind yourself that you have adapted before and you can adapt again. Remember, folks, we went through this once before, and we survived as individuals and as a nation, and we will do so again. Comfort yourself healthfully. Don't be self-destructive. In other words, stay away from the self-medication, I would guess, right? But be kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, things will become clearer, and you will learn what you need to do personally so that you can make it through.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are some good words.
They are. One of the things that I think it was in the first point, I have received a lot of texts today from people that I don't talk to often, who have asked, what can I do now? Where do I get involved? And I think one of the things we saw that happened really beautifully this cycle was the way the coalition worked together to try and work on certain seats. So we saw, of course, these are 501c4s, so they're allowed to do work with campaigns.
Work with campaigns, sure. Mm-hmm.
Although several of these had walls up between, because once you hit a max spend, you can't communicate with the campaign anymore. But the Equity Alliance Fund, Turk Votes, that's the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
The Tennessee Advocates for Planned Parenthood. There were probably others out there.
Tons.
I know, like, even just, this isn't a PAC or a C4, but the East Nashtavis, which is a community group of people that were getting out there. So we saw all of these groups working together and mobilizing and activating people. And one of the things that I think we'll find over the next little bit is, if we examine people like AOC got the voter turnout and voting registration in the Bronx up 67%.
Mm.
And so I think that we'll see things like that, and we'll see organizations step up to register more voters, and that'll include like the NAACP, the League of Women Voters. I know the Equity Alliance has been doing it. And I think we'll see groups that really step up and start mobilizing around that and learning from it.
I've already had people say, I didn't do enough. Yeah. What do I have to do next time?
Yeah.
Right? And hopefully we can find a way to harness that energy, right? Mm. Hopefully nationally we can fine-tune our message.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the left has taken a beating reputation-wise ever since especially since the war in Israel began, right?
Yeah.
The war in the Middle East, right? And we've been painted with a brush that is partly of our own construction, I would argue.
I was going to say, okay? Don't say that it's not true, because it sure is.
And so I think, you know, the party has to get back to its core message of caring for common people, the working people.
The working people,
right?
Absolutely.
And but, you know, that's for the message folks to decide. But us on the ground, right, we can learn lessons from what worked this last time around, what didn't work. And now, well, basically, every time the next president gets on TV and says something, he's going to be activating thousands of volunteers nationwide, probably. Right?
And speaking to that, if you are looking for a place to get involved, Turk,
yes.
The Equity Alliance, Tennessee Advocates for Planned Parenthood, your local parties, Davidson County Dems,
yep.
Davidson County Young Dems,
yep.
The Sumner County Dems, NAACP, League of Women Voters,
and campaigns.
There are going to be things that are needed, and historically what we see after a party takes control in the presidential is that midway cycle will flip seats.
Right. It's almost guaranteed that the Republicans will lose seats in the House and the Senate in 2 years, right?
Especially when inflation doesn't go down.
Well, I mean, you know, and they did such a good job with the economic measures. I mean, inflation is 2.1% right now. That's pretty dang good,
exactly.
Right?
But the
economy is booming.
Yeah.
It is booming. The people don't perceive that, right? And I think that is part of the Democrats' message problem is, hey, you know, things are actually pretty good, you know?
Well, and what I would say to that, too, is that the economy may be booming, but booming for the economy is not the same as your average person being able to pay their bills and buy groceries because...
And that's how you build the message,
right? And that brings me to the fact that...
We understand that.
Yes. Tennessee has done a lot of stuff recently and discussed a lot of stuff. There was talk about turning down a federal grant for schools to the amount of $1.2 billion. We missed a deadline that would have given a grant to farmers and food banks for $6.7 million. And then we also gave that, what was it, $1.9 billion tax breaks that don't even help our small businesses. Over 50% of those are outside of the state.
Exactly.
And so, of course, we are not seeing the benefits of a booming economy because we live in Tennessee.
Yeah. In fact, believe it or not, this week is state budget hearings for the next budget cycle.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And yesterday... four different economists testified in the legislature that Republican Party tax breaks for corporations are straining Tennessee's budget outlook for 2025. Two of those economists actually predicted declines in overall state revenue despite positive economic growth.
Would you visit here?
Yeah, oh, Lord.
I feel like our tourist destinations are going to struggle.
But I feel like going off that point, though, of messaging, it's like, going to doors for these campaigns and knocking on these doors, and you talk about things, as in like the grocery tax, you talk about things that, you know, our legislators gave a $1.9 billion tax cut to mass corporations, it unsettles people. But the average voter is not as educated as someone like me who's at the Capitol 24/7. And so it's hard to push that message to every voter that we want to cut the grocery tax. One of how many states? 9 states with the grocery tax?
Like, yeah.
That's absurd. And
13, maybe.
13? But like we have problems in our state.
And ours is the
highest. Exactly. We have problems in our state that the Republicans try to use against us.
Right.
And yet we're giving small tax breaks on a state level or mass tax breaks on a state level.
Out of state, too.
We just put a man in the White House who is going to do that across the nation. Across the nation.
For large businesses, to be clear.
Absolutely.
And meanwhile, in Tennessee, we can't even get a second in a committee to talk about a bill to reduce the sales tax on food because there's only one Democrat on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans aren't even willing to second it so that there can be a conversation about it, right?
I believe at one point, wasn't that actually a bipartisan?
The tax breaks?
Yeah.
I don't think it was. It was William Lambert.
What was it that Afton did? I'm talking about the repealing
of
the grocery tax.
It was
bipartisan, but it still was not passed.
It was the committee that they just didn't give a motion or a second to.
It is,
But, I mean, we just, on multiple scales, not only in just in the state, but nationwide, like we're literally facing issues that were clear in this election.
Right.
We're so clear in who the choices were. You know, we're talking about families struggling to put food on the table, and we're talking about somebody who wants to give a $9,000 tax credit to first-time families and $9,000 or $12,000 tax credit to, you know, first-time home buyers. But it's like we voted for someone who openly told you he's going to be looking out for the mass corporations and the billionaires. Like, what are we doing?
So I guess the question is, when we're thinking about that, how do we, as people who care about others, what do we do to give back and to ensure that security systems are set in place for people who can't afford their groceries or their rent or can't find housing or it goes on. Yeah. But
well, I think you lead by example and you share that with others.
Exactly.
Right? And
so people learn from your example.
Well, and that's also, I mean, So when we're talking about like mutual aid, of course there are groups that will form and work to help each other, but also there are nonprofits that exist that already do the work and that we should just plug ourselves into. So I'm just thinking about like the local food banks, Grace Place Ministry, Habitat for Humanity. I'm thinking about Shalom Zone in Gallatin and the work that they do. Like there are, or Unlimited Potential does like a grocery giveaway every month.
The Sumner County Democratic Party works with one of the food banks here in Sumner County and every other
month. Unlimited Potential.
Right. And they volunteer to help give out food to folks, right?
Yeah.
A lot of organizations.
Lots of ways to get involved, to do good in your community, to have, number one, nothing to do with politics.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. They don't. But they do. Because when you are working on this stuff, when you are working in the political space, if you are not thinking about how it affects the people that you are working for, you're doing a bad job and you need to get. And if you are thinking about people, then what you know is that we need programs and assistance and we need organizations that will do things. With the Trump government, we are not going to see those things set up.
And I think seeing with your own eyes is pretty powerful.
It is.
You're out there helping people and you see the long line of cars.
Yes.
Right? And you start to put two and two together and I'm like, you know, this line wouldn't be so long if in this state.
But I'm not even thinking about that, to be honest. This isn't a persuasion tactic where we're like, come volunteer so that you can see how bad things are. This is come volunteer because you care about people. And politics is intrinsically linked with caring about people or putting yourself above people.
Yep.
And you got to pick and you got to make that decision. But right now, what we need to do is pivot all of our energy to developing the systems and supporting and reinforcing the systems that are going to be necessary, because come January, things will change drastically. And we need those systems to be strong and in place, because right now,
the social safety nets are going to get strained over the next couple of years.
And I will say, though, too, I mean, I've been on the campaign tour with the Harris-Walz campaign going to these states. So Michigan especially, I remember we were just actually there last week and turned the TV on when we first got in the hotel room. And there's so many TV ads that are going out. Millions of dollars are being poured into these TV ads. But when we go to door to door to get people out to vote, they're trying to figure out how they're going to eat tonight.
Yes.
How they're going to pay the bills tonight. But we have that much money to spend on TV commercials.
Oh, don't even get me started on
and
that.
It's like we're really not even facing, you know.
Yeah.
Parts. Well, if we could divert some of those billions of dollars that we spend on political campaigns into doing real good.
Having just managed a campaign that raised around $500,000 and with independent expenditures and support, probably was close to $1 million campaign.
Yep.
Allie struggles to put food on her table. She talks about this. I'm not outing her for being a poor working class family. That was part of her platform. If you want working class people to run for office, A, we've got to figure out a way to support them in doing that. But B, the amount of money that we spent and that we were forced to spend to get to this 45-55 split, which is crazy, makes me sick, makes her sick, and that looks like political campaign reform, which we're not going to get when it's lobbyists and wealthy
people. Man, that's a conversation worth having some point, isn't it?
We can have it later. Give me 6 months.
We can have it later. We can have it later.
Yeah.
So, Jermaine, man, you've been telling us a lot about your campaign travels this this cycle. Been to Michigan.
I have.
Been in the room when a brand new candidate learned that she won a race.
I know, right?
So what exactly is it that you do, man?
So, I kind of started.
What's your job?
I know.
He's a college student, man.
I am a college student.
He goes to school. He tries to learn.
Yeah, I do. Sometimes I skip a lot, but it's all right.
But Jermaine.
Yeah, I know, right?
No.
Shame on
right? He said he was struggling in a class, and that's why.
Oh, that's why. Okay, it's okay, though. But so I really do a lot of local activism, and that's what got me involved with Representative Pearson, who was the one that was expelled from the State House a year ago for protesting gun violence on the House floor. And he's been my mentor. He's been mentoring me on just what it's like to be a public servant, how you serve people in general. And so he's taking me on the campaign trail, you know, because they asked for surrogates. And he was like, I got somebody who's perfect to come with me. And so we've been going to Michigan. We were in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Virginia. We were in all these states. And everything is so clear. And also when it comes to these, you know, campaigns, it's like I watch these candidates are begging for volunteers. I'm watching as these people need people to come
all the
out
time.
There. And
begging.
You know, I know, like we just actually witnessed this morning, we have a white supremacy problem
country. In Knoxville, are you talking about the college, the old...
That too.
It was a HBCU. Yep. That was burned down.
That was, yep.
Yes, we have a white supremacy problem in this country.
A major one.
And part of the problem is that some of the white people who are acting as like white supremacists don't even realize that they're acting
and
like
that's the point. It's right?
And some of them are, well, I'm not going to say
are
that.
Black. I'll say it for you.
Oh, no, that's not what I was going to say. Something else that would probably get me in trouble.
Okay, some of them are black. Yeah.
But I'll say that because we look at...
I wasn't going to say that.
Shondell Brooks, who I was at her campaign last night, was running...
Herschel Walker, a white supremacist?
Hey, I mean, he might be up there, though, right? But, I mean, I was at Shondell Brooks'...
Oh, but yeah. I understand where you're going, yes.
I was at Shondell Brooks' watch party last night, candidate running for office, and, you know, just the lingering thought of we have white supremacy, I knew that it was going to be tough for a black woman to get elected in general, so I knew that I was going to do everything in my power to make sure that woman got elected, and I was going to come out there and knock doors and volunteer and phone bank and make calls and whatever. Yeah. But also along the way, we have great candidates like Allison and Allie, who I spent a lot of my time doing. And so there was just a calling for me to come and do this because this is so important. And, you know, someone actually told me, I think it was the guy from Run for Something told me this.
Paul,
the farther you get down your ballot, the closer you are to your door.
Yep.
And these state house races, I don't think people understand just how genuinely important these people are.
Yeah.
And
on a day-to-day basis, I would argue that who your state representative is or who your county commissioner is in many ways more important than who's president in Washington, D.C., in terms of your day-to-day life.
Exactly. And so that was my big thing, was that I knew that Allison was very close to where I live, and so I was like, I'm going to go out there and help her win the seat because I saw what the incumbent was doing, and I was baffled by it, and so I was like, no more. This is not going
to
happen.
Well, and that also brings you to the conversation about, like, building a bench and how critical it is because in politics, you move up. You very rarely will see – I mean, Donald Trump, obviously, but you're very rarely going to see someone who has not been elected before in one of those higher seats. Yep. So if we're getting – we need people to run for city council.
Everything. Run,
and if
run,
they run.
Run
for city council, then next step may be county commission. Then it could be mayor of the county.
And if you don't think city commission is important, just look at Millersville.
Right? Oh, I know.
and you know, thankfully, we got some change in the Millersville City Commission last night, right? You know, and that's going to be a big help to those folks. But those people were living in a little miniature autocratic regime in the middle of, on the border of Sumner and Robertson County.
Yep.
That can be really... really important.
I mean, those decisions, but also if you want people that you believe in moving up the ranks and being able to run for higher things, if you don't have name recognition, you'll never win.
Yep, exactly.
And if you start running for something smaller, it is an easier chunk of people to knock doors for and to campaign to. And then as you build, it's like you're able to take a bigger bite out of the apple each time, which isn't to say that it's this easy thing and you like fall into it, although in a Republican supermajority state that does often happen. Yeah. But if you don't build that bench where people are starting out and have the knowledge that we need, then you're not going to have people that you want elected in the higher offices, period.
Not at all.
Oh, yes,
I'm supposed to be hopeful over here, and but it mostly is just saying, like, this is very critical work that we have been doing, that we are doing, and so, like, if you are asking, how can I get involved?
We got somewhere for you.
We have so many places, and feel free, if you know me, feel free to reach out to me and say, how do I get involved? And like I've said to friends today, I don't know yet. I am planning a gathering of some of the people that worked in various levels of campaigns and with the coalition over the last year and a half, where we're just going to sit down around a table and eat probably some Mexican food and just kind of toss ideas around. There will be a lot of very formal meetings. I don't want this to be formal. This is going to be like Jermaine and I hang out with our friends. But the point is that, like, there are going to be ways. Give me until, like, the 19th or 20th of the month. Maybe give me until Thanksgiving, and I will have things for you.
Yep.
And if you can't wait until then, go ahead and call the Shalom Zone and volunteer. Or
head on over to the Loyal Opposition website and contact me, and I can get you involved with whatever group. Or there's many organizations doing good work on our website.
Or sign up on the...
Click on one of those links and...
The other thing is
folks.
The Sumner Dems, like, we have a form, and people are still filling that out, and I believe that we'll start to see over the next year, I think that we'll start to see organizations and groups of people coalesce into something that is not just conversation, but is activation. Right. And that's what we really need. And so if you feel hopeless, figure out what your skills are, figure out how you can best apply them. Reach out to people, ask what they need, and then let's connect you, because change will only happen if we have a whole army of people doing it. And the big issue is that there aren't enough people working in these critical things.
It's not, in many cases, it's not money.
I shouldn't be working on two campaigns.
You shouldn't be. You should be working on one.
Yes. Right?
And you know, I think some of these candidates, I mean, Allie up in Clarksville, money was not the issue there.
Right.
Right.
Hers was volunteers.
Hers was volunteers.
Yeah.
Right? And so in many cases, money's not the issue. Certainly Kamala Harris had enough money, right?
Yep.
I mean, she had, 32 field offices in Pennsylvania alone?
Yeah.
So that, in that case, you know, it's more message than money. So, yeah, it's, you know, the stuff you can do to help, is a lot of it's free. Doesn't cost you a penny. So, yeah, check. Head on over to loyalopposition.com. Give us an email. Give us a shout. Give us a text at 516-440-6310. And, you know, we can get you hooked up. Because, you know, one of the big things that becoming active and involved in an organization, whether it's the local county party or whether it's one of these state or national organizations doing activist work, is you become part of a community.
Yeah, you do.
And when you're part of a community... Well, it's easier to grieve when things go wrong because you got folks to lean on, right? And it's easier to get things done because, well, many hands make light work, right?
Yeah.
If Allie Phillips and Allison Beal and everybody else had an army of volunteers going door to door for them, we'd be having a very different conversation.
Absolutely.
Right now, right?
Absolutely.
So, folks, if you're out there wondering, what is it that you could do, you know?
Yeah.
If you haven't given money, yeah, give money. But if you have, right, there are other things you can do.
Well,
I sent literally hundreds of text
money,
messages.
Just,
right?
If you can't
you can
give money,
text
time
messages
pressure
for
time.
Free.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I sent hundreds of text messages using that text application.
I sent 12,000 text messages on Election Day alone. I'm not kidding. It was like 12,312.
And the software helps you to not have to type out 12,000 messages, right? Obviously. So, but that's a pretty easy way to make a pretty big impact,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, think about it. Even if like 0.1% of those people opened that, read that message and responded, right? You're reaching people.
Yeah.
You're reaching a significant number.
And you're having
good
conversations. That I was texting for Allie. And there was a man who replied and said, you know, I'm a Republican, so please don't text me again. And the standard answer is, of course, we'll remove you from our list.
Right.
But for whatever reason, based on the way he wrote it, I was like, you know, Allie always says to vote for the person, not the party. And so I just was like, absolutely. I said, for what it's worth, Allie does believe this. We had a long conversation, and that man, and it's possible he was lying, but he said he was going to vote for her and Trump.
And that used to be a fairly common thing. Mm-hmm. Mike McDonald in Sumner County, right here in Portland, right?
Yeah.
For decades, you know, there'd be yard signs in a yard, Mike McDonald for State House, right next to George Bush for president, right?
Yeah.
And these folks are Republicans, but they knew Mike, they liked Mike, and they trusted Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And they voted for him. They didn't care what the letter was after his name. And we need to get back to not caring about the letter, but caring about the person and their values
and
their ideals and their platform. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about how a platform makes a difference, even the people who don't necessarily think they are immediately impacted by it, in just a minute. We are going to take our last break right now, though. Pay some bills. When we come back, we're going to have more with Megan and Jermaine here on The Loyal Opposition.
McDonald's presents Burger Reviews by Hamburglar. Today's review, the hotter, juicier, classic burgers. Hamburglar, the time is yours.
Bravo, bravo.
He said, these are McDonald's best burgers ever. And then, can I keep them? And then he just grabbed them and ran away.
Bravo.
It's your time to run, too. Get your McDonald's favorites. Enjoy this delicious deal. Buy one Big Mac, double cheeseburger, or McDouble. And get another one for $1. Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Here's an important message from Portland Natural Gas. Always looking out for your safety. Think you have a gas leak? First, evacuate the area. Don't use matches, electrical switches, flashlights, or telephones. And report it immediately by calling Portland Natural Gas at 325-6776. If you think the leak is serious and a real danger is present, call 911. Portland Natural Gas, looking out for your safety and providing cost-efficient heating and cooling for Portland residents.
Now you can join Planet Fitness and get the PF Black Card for zero enrollment, $24.99 a month, and get all the perks.
I love perks.
Do you love having access to 2,000-plus locations?
Yes.
Bringing a friend every time?
Hashtag friend goals.
And recovering with massage chairs?
Who doesn't?
Get the PF Black Card and feel spectacular. Zero enrollment, $24.99 a month. See club for details.
If you're on Medicare, here's exciting news. The Medicare annual enrollment period is just weeks away. Portland has a local trusted advisor who can help seniors sort through all the confusing aspects of Medicare, and there are a lot of changes in cost and services this year. Kyle Doris and Medicare Insurance Advisors can help you make sense out of all the plans and supplements. Best of all, the advice and service from Kyle and MIA doesn't cost you a penny. Give them a call at 615-325-0064 or visit Kyle at 621 South Broadway.
The Medical Center at Franklin is proud to serve the Franklin-Simpson County community. More than just a hospital, the Medical Center at Franklin offers the care you need close to home. From primary care to routine screenings like mammograms, colonoscopies, or lung cancer screenings. We take care of your emergency needs, offer school-based care, and even cancer and rehab services. Visit MedCenterHealth.org/Franklin to learn more.
The Beatles?
Pat Benatar? Survivor?
The Who?
Led Zeppelin!
Reminds me of the stuff I grew up listening to, you know, reminds me of being a kid and stuff.
WQKR plays the music you grew up with. Great rock and roll and pop hits from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's fun to listen to. Fun contests and great prizes, too. All day, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
WQKR. WQKR.
It's reminiscent. It's the stuff that you grew up with.
This is The Loyal Opposition. I'm your host, Len Asante. You are listening to WQKR in Portland. It is 5:52 on Wednesday, November 6th. I'm here talking with Megan and Jermaine, and we are talking, well, I guess, next
everything.
Steps. Everything, right, aren't we? I mentioned over the break that I wanted to mention, you know, sometimes when we talk about platforms,
yeah.
You know, we hear about issues that we think perhaps aren't necessarily germane or relevant to our own individual lives. Like, for example, you know, I'm a 59-year-old male. You know, abortion is probably not at the top of my radar, right?
Yeah.
What are the chances that I'm going to be, you know, involved in that situation, right? I am interested in the fact that Republican parental consent laws are causing mature teens to be denied preventative health care in Tennessee.
Yep.
Okay. I am concerned that Tennessee's child vaccination rates are going in the wrong direction because of anti-vax rhetoric from conservative politicians. Okay. I'm very interested that Tennessee could actually reduce state spending on 10 care if we could offer better coverage to low-income workers through Obamacare, which, of course, we can't. Right? You know, none of these things directly